Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then. One of my favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, because Paul spoke this and it ministered to my heart. And it's what I desire to see whenever we have an opportunity to speak to God's children, God's loved ones. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5 says, "And my speech and my preaching were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Family, never quote, never lean to, never look to man more than you look to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how influential they are in your heart, in your life. It doesn't matter how much you've learned from them. It is because of their relationship with Jesus Christ that what they have to say is effective. Amen? Don't ever get that out of place. Word Life Church was founded on a couple scriptures. The first scripture was Matthew 28, 19. And it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit." The second scripture was John 8, 31 and 32. I'm going to read 30 here. Verse 30 of chapter 8 in John says, "As he spoke these words, many believed him." I read verse 30 because what I want you to grab hold of is many believed after Jesus spoke these words. You know why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Then he goes on to say in verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed," raise your hand if you're a believer, "if," it means it's conditional, true or not true. Everybody hear that? "If," it means it's conditional. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We believe there is no use to starting a church if it wasn't founded on making disciples and having truth come across the pulpit where freedom would be the result. That is why we exist. We exist to see people get to a place where they are fully functional disciples of Jesus Christ. When that doesn't happen, we are failing. There is nothing more important than you and I getting enough word on the inside of us, enough understanding on the inside of us to cause a sense of urgency to refuse to let our neighbors go to hell. It doesn't matter how much we know if we leave it in the house, if we don't allow what is in us to go through us to minister to a lost and dying world around us. It is never about the four walls. Family, what you do must spill over to your family, your friends, your loved ones, your coworkers. It must go outside of the building for it to be successful. Could you imagine if Jesus raised up disciples and they never went out two by two? Could you imagine if it was just them? It would have died with them. You and I would have never had the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. How important is it for you and I to continue the work of the Messiah? It is absolutely critical. And here's the thing. You are equipped. You know enough right now to make a difference. True disciples have faith in God and stay in His Word. Continue in His Word. If we look at John 8, 31 and 32, it says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." It's the continuing in the word of God that makes us disciples. Somebody say amen to that. Only the truth you know has the power to set you free. Word Life Church is also built on relationship, not religion. Is this going to trip on us? Do I need to switch it out? It is built on relationship and not wisdom. It is built on you and I knowing who He is, not getting caught up in doing things, hoping to get His approval. Relationship, not religion. That's our subtitle for today's message, relationship. Not the proof text for that is John 15, 13 through 16. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Sounds like He's running after us. "And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father." Okay. Whatever you ask the Father, I will do, and He will give it to you. I want to turn our attention to where it says that your fruit should remain. That is absolutely key, because only free people have an opportunity to free people. Only the fruit that you and I have that is remaining in our lives is capable of feeding someone else who is hungry and looking. It does no good to have an orange tree in your backyard if every time you go out there to harvest it, they're already dried up, shriveled up, and no good. True or not true? It is necessary that the fruit that we bear remains so that other people can benefit from it. It's not about praying a prayer. It's about living a life of freedom. We're called to make disciples, not converts. We're called to raise up fully functional disciples of Jesus Christ. How do you know if you're a fully functional of Jesus Christ? Well, when was the last time you led someone to the Lord? When was the last time you laid hands on someone and they were healed? When was the last time you laid hands on somebody and they were delivered? Fully functional is doing the works that Jesus did. We need to be John 14, 12 believers. We need to have the fruit showing up in our lives. Amen. Last week, we learned that we're commanded to present our bodies. Pastor Jerry taught a message, and we saw that being a living sacrifice means being set aside for God's glory. We looked at Romans 6, 6 through 8, and it tells us that we are no longer slaves to sin. We are free from sin. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, 22, which teaches us to abstain from every form of evil. We saw that what we do matters. Somebody say, what I do matters. The proof text to that is 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 5, and 1 Corinthians 6, 19. It talks about us setting our bodies aside for the Lord. It shows us that
our body belongs to God. Is this important? We learn that what we see matters. We looked at Luke 11:34. What we allow our eyes to lay hold on gives access to our inner being. What we choose to focus on, we are choosing to feed, and what we feed grows. What we say matters. Ephesians is loaded with the power of our tongues. James is loaded with the power of our words. I made a statement, your miracle is in your mouth. You know, the flip side of that is you cursing yourself is in your mouth. You know, you can agree with what the devil is saying and doing and cause that to manifest in your life. What we think matters. Philippians 4:8 was the proof text we went to. We were encouraged to stand up for truth. We were encouraged to desire holiness. We were encouraged to be devout and live for Jesus. We looked at 1 Peter 1:15, which encouraged us to be like our God. Ephesians 5:1-5 talks about being imitators of God. Whenever we make decisions to do different things, it's good to say, well, is God pleased with this? Is God smiling or frowning? Am I representing God or his archenemy? Whose kingdom am I advancing right now? Do you have the ability to do that? It's two of us. I guess that's agreement. Family, do we have the ability to align our lives to God's word? Yes or no? Amen. What does it mean? We are currently in a series entitled Experiencing God. How many of you would like to experience God? Raise your hand if you would like to experience God. Everybody else, just hang around. And it's contagious. What begins to happen is you see other people experiencing God, and you say, oh, I want some of this. And you'll begin to have that desire to experience God as well. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Where you guys going? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. We're going to look at what does it mean to experience God. We're going to look at why is it important to experience God. And then we're going to dig into how. How do we do that? How do we experience God? What does it mean to experience God? First, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 says, I, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Note what Peter said he was first. Did you notice how he identified himself first? Did he walk in a room and say, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus? Get out of my way. No, his heart's cry was, I am a bondservant and an apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome mindset. What an awesome example to choose to be a servant leader. Obtain to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only did Peter identify himself first and foremost by saying he was a servant before an apostle, he also said that those who are like me, he's addressing those who are like me. He says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, how? Anybody see that? What's it say? How? By the righteousness of what they did and how they did it. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is writing to you and I as well. Have you obtained the righteousness of God when you said yes to Jesus? Raise your hand if you have grabbed hold of the righteousness of God when you said yes to Jesus. Family, that is so key to know and understand. He wrote this epistle to those who had obtained. Is that present? Future? That's back in the day. So the moment you said yes, you now have, you have grabbed hold of it. That like precious faith is now yours. Absolutely crucial that we wrap our heads around that. The Greek word that was used and translated like precious, it means equal, of equal value or honor. That means you are equal to the same honor. You deserve to be looked at in the same light as Peter. Not a worm barely getting by, not somebody who messed up again and God is waiting for his opportunity to hit us over the head. You know what's so amazing about that? You are also in line with the Son of God. The same faith, the same abilities. Look at somebody and say, you have the same ability that Jesus has. I know that could be a tough thing to say. Look at somebody and grab hold of that reality and say it again. I promise you, it's not sacrilegious. We'll prove it out. We'll go through the word. Do you realize what has been invested in you? The blood of Jesus has been invested in you. You have everything you need to fulfill the will of God for your life already. You're not striving for victory. You have the victory. And you are renewing your mind to fend off the enemy who is lying, trying to take that victory from you. You don't have an inferior faith to Jesus or any of the early apostles. You have the faith of God. Peter said he received this faith through righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't get this faith because of any merit on his own. It is a gift. The proof text to that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. As a believer, you have a faith of equal value with Peter. Everything we get from God comes as a gift to be received, not a prize that is earned. That scripture goes on to say, verse 2 says, listen to this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 is what I wanted to get to. As his divine power has given to who? Is it your power? Is it your power? Is it my power? Family, if we detach from our effort and tap in to his divine power, how much bolder do we become? What would you pray if you knew he wouldn't say no? What would you do if you knew you were going to succeed? That requires a different mindset. You see, when you and I look at what we did, what we said, how we were raised, who wasn't there, we begin to take power from us because of what he did. His righteousness is enough. And we begin to limit God when we say, I did this, I did that, I grew up here, my dad wasn't in my life, I was raised on the wrong side. None of that has anything to do with the power of God. None of that dilutes the righteousness of God. And when we understand that, we begin to walk in that, you know what happens? Our fruit will begin to remain. When we understand who we are, we're not interested in doing wrong. When we understand who we are, we're not interested in evil. We understand the value that has been deposited on the inside of us. We're not interested in pursuing our own goals and dreams. We have a genuine gratefulness, a genuine glory and honor for what God has done, and we begin to share it out of our hearts. And people receive because they say, wait, if it works for Freddie, it'll work for me. If you grew up where I grew up, you'd say, oh yeah, there is a God. You would know for sure. One thing I could tell you is I do not look like what I've gone through. And when you understand it was the goodness of God, not me, it was the goodness of God, it was me saying yes to him that gave me the power to go forth and stand on the truth of God's word. We have to get to that point. Don't get it twisted. Don't think that, it's not the surface. I saw this analogy that was so cool. It was an iceberg. An iceberg, you realize 3/4 of an iceberg is underwater, right? What is on top, what we see is behavior. But the that's just 1/4 of it. The 3/4 of what's really going on is values, belief, understanding, passion, motives, and intent. And the moment you and I yield our values, our motives, our passions, and our intent over to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that can come out through the surface is him. And that's what we have to commit our lives to. Be like Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, help me. Help the mass of me that's underwater that nobody sees. Help the real me. Help the me that goes in the closet. Help the me that the only you see. I want to be right before your eyes. And I want to have an understanding of who I really am. Because the worst thing we can do, family, is be pretenders. It's the worst thing we can do is pretend like we have it all together. To candy coat the little part that's on the surface. That's the worst thing you can do. You know why? Because that's God sees the real us. Anyway, and here's the thing, family. God can only minister to the part of you that you give to him. Do you understand? He is never fooled. Do you realize God has never said, oh, you got me, you got me. I thought you was for real. What? Oh, okay. Never. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter what you do in front of me, in front of your loved ones, your friends. It doesn't matter. Because God sees the real you. Of course, it matters. But it's about the root. If we're going to have fruit that remains, like we read in John 15, the only way that happens if we take care of the root. I'm encouraging all of us to work on, pray for, bring to our dad the root. And allow people to taste and see the goodness of God. If we focus on the outside, we'll miss it. Because you may be able to fool me, but you'll never fool him. True or not true? I can come up in front of you and say this and say that, but God knows what's really going on. Family, that's what matters most. And if we're going to experience God, we must present to him who we really are. You realize God will never anoint you to be somebody else? How many of you have a desire? How many of you know what the anointing means? Raise your hand if you know what the anointing means. Raise your hand if you know what the anointing means. You know, the anointing is an empowerment. Back in the day, they used to anoint kings and priests. They used to put oil on them, different scents, and it would represent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would empower them to do what they were called to do. The Holy Spirit would empower them to accomplish the task that God has assigned to them. You will never receive an anointing trying to be somebody else. How important is it for you and I to discover our calling? It is absolutely crucial that you and I get along with Dad and say, what is it that you've called me to do? Listen, in the absence of that, you'll never be anointed. If I leave who God made me and try to be somebody else, guess where the anointing resides? Right back where God called me, who God called me to be. So very critical. You know why it's important to desire the anointing? Because the anointing will cause you to do stuff that you can't do on your own. The anointing will put you in places that you could have never got to on your own. The anointing will make you look good when you're not that good. The anointing takes care of what's really critical. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My God, the connection to you and I, knowing who we are, doing what we're called to do, grabbing hold of his divine power, not only gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You realize what most people are pursuing? God has already supplied. What most people are putting God aside to chase after, God has already supplied for them, for us. That's why Matthew 6:33 is so critical for you and I to attach our lives to. When we make God our priority, he takes care of everything we have need of, desire of. And here's the thing, family. Because his ways, his thoughts are so much greater than ours, doing it his way always impacts us way more than we ever could on our own. If we're going to experience God, we're going to have to do it God's way. Experiencing God is having God fruit at the end of you. Experiencing God means at the end of you, you look up and you say, oh my God, I could have never done that. Wow, did you see that? True victory, a true testimony, is someone who knows you and see what you accomplish and say, there is definitely a God. Because I know them. That's a real testimony. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. When God allows you to take part in something that is beyond you and your abilities, you've experienced God. Does that describe anybody in here? Have you ever done something, been a part of something that God did, and you know good and well that wasn't you? You know what? You experienced God. Experiencing God is when his name changes for you. When he's no longer just a good God, but he's my God. When you get to the point where he's not just a healer, but he's my healer. He's not just a deliverer, he's my deliverer. Things change. When you experience God, you look at God totally different. It'll be obvious when you and I experience God. This is why experiencing God is so crucial. We looked at what. What does experiencing God mean? Now we're going to look at why. Why is it so crucial for you and I to experience God? When you and I experience the impossible for ourselves, God becomes our experience. You see, it's totally different when you're explaining to somebody a God that you've heard of versus a God that you've experienced. It's a completely different conversation. When you experience God, people can sense the anointing. They know it's real. They know it's true. They know they want what you have because you've experienced God. You're not just talking about the God of so-and-so. You're not talking about the God of mama them, pookie them, my cousins and them. You're talking about a God that you know, that you experience. If you're walking when you weren't walking, if you're able to do something you weren't able to do, if you're in your sound mind, if you've had bullets shot at you and they should have taken you out and you're still standing, serving God, loving on people, serving people, there's a reason to celebrate God. You see, when you experience God, it's different. When God answered a prayer, when there was no way and he made a way, it's different. It's not haphazardly. You're not just talking about him. You're allowing him to talk through you because you've experienced him. Family, experiencing God is a must. We must experience God so we can show a lost and dying world how good he really is. You know, he's not that good if he doesn't affect them. He's not that good if he can't save them too. It doesn't apply to them. If his goodness doesn't affect their lifestyle, if what is shown on the surface isn't impacted by what happened on the inside of them, he's not a good guy. There should be evidence that remains because of his goodness. True or not true? He's no longer the God of so-and-so. He's my God. You know, there are so many different names for God, and I started to list them all. I had them listed, but I couldn't make it fit on two pages. That's it. So I took it all out. But there is Yahweh, Adonai. There is Yahweh Mekadeshim. There is Yahweh Rohi, Yahweh Shammah, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Sitkanu. There is Yahweh Jireh. There is all kind of different names of God. And these names came up in the Bible after people experienced God that way. Yahweh Nisi, Yahweh Shalom, Elohim, El Olam, El Roy. You know, I'm not going to take too long of a detour. The reason why I chose Yahweh instead of Jehovah is in the Hebrew, there's really no J's or V's. So Jehovah is what we're accustomed to, but There's no vowels in Hebrew. So for us to get stuck on that would be, I hesitate to bring it up because I don't ever want to get stuck on that, because I know loved ones who got stuck there and they missed the whole picture. You know, we can get caught up in how to pronounce God's name or which term to use, but none of that matters if he's not God to us. You know, and that's why Jesus, he asked the question, he said, what's going on out there? What are they talking about? Who do they think I am? And they name some different things. Oh, they think you're John the Baptist. They think you're Elijah. They say you're one of the prophets. And he said, no. Who do you say that I am? And when Peter got the revelation, Jesus said, oh, you didn't get that from the water cooler. You didn't get that from hanging out around the well. My Father revealed that to you. And until our Father God reveals who he is, it doesn't matter what we call him. When we experience God and begin to call him based on what we experience, that makes all the difference in the world. He is your healer. How many of you has God healed before? Raise your hand. See, isn't it hard to say that he heals some people? Isn't it hard to say that he's the healer of so-and-so? After when he heals you, he is your healer. Amen? And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for you and I to experience him. Matthew 16, 13 through 18 is a proof text of that. It's when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said, who do they say I am? Let's skip to the how. Let's skip to the application. How do we experience God? Is this important? How do we experience God? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to pray to a God that never answers me. I'm not interested in being ignored. You know, I want my prayers answered. Could you imagine being in a relationship where you're with somebody and they never answer you? Could you imagine that? Tim, could you imagine talking to Diane and she just looks at you? Like, how weird would that be? You wouldn't stay in that marriage. How many times are we neglecting the only relationship that has the answer? And you know, and it's a reaction to run to your best friend, to run to your spouse, to run to your sibling. But do they really have the answer? You know, will we help you? No. In order to experience God, we need to establish a life that is completely dependent on him. We need to settle it once and for all. I'm not going to rely on my job, my business. I'm not going to rely on my investments. I'm not going to rely on my friends, my neighbors, my mother, my father. I'm not going to rely on anyone other than Father God. You know what happens when you do that? You'll never be let down. Listen to this. God is the only one that has never lied to you. It's true. Some people just didn't want to hurt your feelings. They love you, but they didn't want to hurt your feelings. They weren't sure you could take it. Isn't that wild to think about? But God has never lied to you. God has never given up on you. God is continuously pursuing you because he loved you. He didn't make a mistake when he died for you. He knew exactly who he was getting. and he did it anyway. Aren't you happy that somebody else wasn't God? Aren't you? I can tell you right now, y'all would be in trouble if I was God. aren't you happy? God is God, and we're not. How do we experience God? Number one says what? Live by the word. The word of God has the capacity to bring itself about. The word of God has the capacity to cause transformation to take place. The word of God is the only thing that's never going to return void. Number two says what? Be hopeful. Be full of hope. The hope of the world is not the return of Christ. Let that settle inside you. The hope of the world is not the return of Christ. The hope of the world is the power of the gospel inside me and you. Amen. You know, if we don't understand that, we can get it twisted and celebrate the coming of the Lord and act as if that's their hope. That's not their hope. If they're not born again, they've never said yes to Jesus, that's not their hope. That is eternal damnation. Look at somebody and point to them and say, you are the hope of the world. You are the hope of the world. The God on the inside of you, the power of the gospel in you is the hope of the world. Matthew 3:11 is the proof text to that. What's number three say? Give yourself to God. Look at somebody and say, for real. Give yourself to God. Galatians 2:20 talks about the life I live is no longer mine, but the life in the faith of the Son of God. We have to get to the point where we decide to be Galatians 2:20 believers. You know, who you see is no longer Freddie. Who you see is someone who has died to self and have chosen to live my life in faith of the Son of God. God is looking for people to stand for him. Not in arrogance or in independence, but in total reliance, yielded vessels committed to following him, following his mission, his will, and his way. Choose to be a disciple. We talked about the foundation, one of the foundation scriptures of Word Life, John 8:31 and 32. Choose to be a disciple. Make that decision. Make a decision to live the life that Jesus died for. Is it worth it? What an awesome opportunity to say, you know what, Lord, I decide to live the life that you died for me to live. What a powerful profession. Number four says what? Put God first. This is probably one of the most difficult things for a living sacrifice to do. A living sacrifice always has the strength and ability to get off the altar. And a living sacrifice, the altar gets hot. It gets too sharp. A living sacrifice has the ability to get off the altar at will. Do you understand that we are free will agents? And we always have the opportunity to choose to put God first or not. We have to have a real heart to heart with ourselves and say, am I putting God before everything and everyone? Am I choosing him first and foremost? You know, proper priority brings supernatural provision. Whenever you and I choose the proper priority, the supernatural won't stay out of your life. The supernatural will take over your life. Because God is faithful. Isaiah 46:10 talks about God is faithful to bring his will to pass. When you and I align our lives with God, when we choose him over ourselves, our feelings, our emotions, our rights, our what we deserve, but you don't know what they did, you don't know what they said. When we choose to be like him and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew what he was going to was more important than where he was coming from. He made a conscious decision, and you and I can do that. When we declare your kingdom come, we're declaring your dominion inhabits this situation. When we declare your kingdom come, we're allowing his presence. We're saying, Lord, your presence supersedes this atmosphere. Your presence supersedes what's going on. Your presence supersedes my opinions. You realize there's no such thing as the book of second opinions? You realize that? It's not in there. You can keep looking, but it's not in there. It's not about our opinion, family. It's about you and I aligning our lives to the Word of God if we want to experience God. Raise your hand if you want to experience God. So very important. Choose to experience God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. This is the proof text of that last point. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 33. It says, in fact, let's read this together. It's on the screen. Ready, read. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That is so critical, but that comes from you and I having a real heart-to-heart with ourselves and saying, you know what, I'm going to choose him first. I'm going to outlast the temptation of grabbing hold of the steering wheel and do it my way. I'm gonna just stand firm on his word. You know, you failed God way more than he's ever failed you. Doesn't it make sense to go to the winner, to the one who never fails? How about you and I partner with someone who never fails? What if we just made a conscious decision? I'm going to go to the winning side and stay there. I'm going to put my life in the hands of the undisputed champion of the world. I'm going to choose him and his ways. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your holy written word. Father, thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Thank you for yet another opportunity to feed on your word. You said faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. Father, we thank you for the word that is seed, the incorruptible seed that's been planted into our hearts. I pray that every heart is pliable, good soil, by which a bountiful harvest would flourish. Father, I thank you that as we take a moment to say, Lord, what do we do with this word? That you begin to minister to hearts. You begin to answer questions, illuminate next steps, solutions. Father, I pray for every household that is represented here right now. Father, I know that you have a desire to not only speak to us, but to lead us and guide us right into the center of your will. Father, I come against doubt, fear, and unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the anointing breaks past unacceptance, regrets, and that you begin to minister to hearts right now. Thank you, Lord. Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know,
One thing I know for sure, the word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.